Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Stephen Bedard.
Please check out my website at historyofchristianitypodcast.com. And before we get started, we're going to hear a word from another podcast, one that you might find interesting.
Do you miss the days when Christianity was the cool kid on the block? Back when church groups were more about organizing to drive the infidels out of stolen Christian lands than they were about whether Dungeons and Dragons or Harry Potter was going to send their children's souls straight to hell. And when missionary work was done with sword and spear rather than knocking on people's doors on a Saturday morning and bothering them with a tract. Well, I've got good news for you. Over at the War and Conquest podcast, we talk about exactly that. Back when Christianity was a lot less turn the other cheek and a lot more tear down your pagan idols or be conquered. We've got a whole trilogy series on the First, Second, and Third Crusades, as well as the Crusader State period. And while we've been distracted for about a year now with the Romans, pretty soon we're going to be getting back into the medieval period again with people like Charlemagne. So if you're looking for another history podcast that talks about the kind of things that you're interested in, come on over to War and Conquest Podcast. It's the show that's attempting to make history fun again.
So make sure to check that out. In this episode, we finish up with those last texts that are included in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. We'll start with Quadratus of Athens, whose writings we technically don't have. Quadratus is thought to be the first Christian apologist and likely wrote sometime between 117 and 138 AD. What we know of him is what we get from later writers who commented on him. Our main source is Eusebius. This is what Eusebius said. After Trajan had reigned for 19 and a half years, Aelius Adrian became his successor in the empire. To him, Quadratus addressed a discourse containing an apology for our religion, because certain wicked men had attempted to trouble the Christians. The work is still in the hands of a great many of the brethren, as also in our own, and furnishes clear proofs of the man's understanding of his apostolic orthodoxy. He himself reveals the early date at which he lived in the following words. But the works of our Savior were always present, for they were genuine, those that were healed and those that were raised from the dead, who were seen not only when they were healed and when they were raised, but were also always present, and not merely while the Savior was on earth, but also after his death. They were alive for quite a while, so that some of them lived even to our day. Such, then, was Quadratus. Jerome also spoke of Quadratus. Quadratus, disciple of the apostles, after Publius, bishop of Athens, had been crowned with martyrdom on account of his faith in Christ, was substituted in his place, and by his faith and industry gathered the church scattered by reason of its great fear. And when Hadrian passed the winter at Athens to witness the Eleusinian mysteries and was initiated into almost all the sacred mysteries of Greece, those who hated the Christians took opportunity, without instructions from the emperor, to harass the believers. At this time he presented to Hadrian a work composed in behalf of our religion, indispensable, full of sound argument and faith, and worthy of the apostolic teaching, in which, illustrating the antiquity of his period, he says that he has seen many who, oppressed by various ills, were healed by the Lord in Judea, as well as some who had been raised from the dead. There's not much else that we can say about Quadratus except this. It's speculated that there may be a connection between Quadratus and our next text, the Epistle of Diogenes. The reason for this is that this epistle, which doesn't identify the author, is also an early apologetic work. Some scholars have wondered if Quadratus was the author of the epistle, but I need to make clear this is only speculation and we cannot know for sure. So what do we know about the Epistle of Diogenes? It's thought to have been written around 130 AD, making it at least contemporary with Quadratus. The epistle has 12 chapters and is addressed, surprise, surprise, to Diogenes. That name means God born, and some have wondered if it was not a proper name, although it's just as likely that it was addressed to an individual. Some have thought the recipient of this letter to be the Diogenes, who was the tutor of philosopher and Roman emperor Marcus Aurelius. Others have thought that the recipient was Claudius Diogenes, procurator of Alexandria. The purpose of the letter is to differentiate Christian beliefs and practice from that of pagans and Jews. The author's criticism of the Jews can make modern readers uncomfortable, but it should be interpreted in the context of the second century when the Romans were having difficulty differentiating between Jews and Christians. There is a high Christology in this early letter. The author notes that God did not send a servant or an angel, but the very creator and fashioner of all things. Here is the first chapter of the epistle, just to give you a taste of it. Since I see, most excellent Diogenes, that thou art exceedingly anxious to understand the religion of the Christians, and that thy inquiries respecting them are distinctly and carefully made, as to what God they trust and how they worship him, that they all disregard the world and despise death, and take no account of those who are regarded as gods by the Greeks, neither observe the superstition of the Jews, and as to the nature of the affection which they entertain one to another, and of this new development of interest, which has entered into men's lives now, and not before, I gladly welcome the zeal in thee, and I ask of God, who supplieth both the speaking and the hearing to us, that it may be granted to myself to speak in such a way that thou mayest be made better by the hearing, and to thee that thou mayest so listen, that I, the speaker, may not be disappointed. This brings us to the end of the Apostolic Fathers, but this is only the beginning of Christian apologetics. In episodes to come, we will feature more of the early apologists. A note on what apologetics is. An apologia was a defense, and it was a common form of writing even before Christianity. Plato wrote an apologia for Socrates to defend his reputation after his death in Athens. Early Christians, living in a culture often hostile toward their faith, wrote defenses of Christianity, whether to emperors or heretics or critics of whatever stripe. Quadratus and the Epistle of Diogenes were the beginning of a trend within Christianity that continues today. On my other website, I sometimes write about Christian apologetics, and you can find those posts at stephenjbedard.com/apologetics. My recommended audiobook for today is A History of Christian Apologetics, Defending the Gospel Through the Centuries, written by John Warwick Montgomery. You can get this audiobook for free with a free trial of Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/hopesreason. Again, that's audibletrial.com/hopesreason. And you can also support this podcast by going to my Patreon page, patreon.com/hopesreason. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. Go and visit me at my website, historyofchristianitypodcast.com, and find me on Twitter and Facebook as well. Thank you, and God bless.